This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a Juzalay. I was just having a few troubles connecting the stream, that now I'm connected, so alhamdulillah, we're good to go. Welcome to this, to a juz a day. Today we are covering the 20th juz of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we are entering the last third of the Quran now. After this we will enter the last third of the Quran, and this is something that's in sync with the Ramadan, right? Tomorrow is going to be the 20th fast of Ramadan, and that concludes the with the 20th fast will conclude the second third of the Quran, second third of the Ramadan, excuse me. Two thirds of it will be done. And then we enter into the last 10 nights, on last 10 days of Ramadan, that have the last 10 nights of Ramadan that are blessed, that have the night of power in it. So we ask Allah to pray. We ask Allah to give us the ability to pray in these blessed nights, to worship Him, and to catch the night of power, the night which the person who's deprived of its blessings is truly deprived. The 20th juz includes surah number 27, surah An-Naml, surah number 28, surah Al-Qasas, and surah number 29, surah Al-Ankabut. But we are going to cover today surah number 27 and 28. And you will defer surah 29 to tomorrow, inshallah. Surah 27 is An-Naml. Surah An-Naml is the name of An-Naml means the ant. And this is in reference to the story of the ant that that saw the army of Suleiman, saw the army of Solomon, and warned its people that Solomon's army is coming. And Suleiman alayhi salam heard her speak. And that incident, that story, is what the surah is named after, Surah An-Naml. Surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas, is called the story. Mm-hmm. And this is the story of Musa. But this time, this is a story of Musa when he is a baby. And the moments leading up to his deliverance by Allah, from the tyranny of Fir'aun, as a baby who would come and kill, who would order his soldiers to go and kill the babies of Bani Israel. So it starts from those moments, and then speaks about Musa alayhi salam as a young man, and then Musa alayhi salam getting married, and then Musa alayhi salam returning back to fulfill the prophetic task that was given to him by Allah. So these are the two stories that we have, or the two surahs that we have today. Let's get started with Surah An-Naml, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, Ta Seen, Tilka Ayatul Qur'ani wa Kitabim Mubin. Taseen, these are verses from the Quran, a book that makes things clear. Hudan wa bushra lil mu'minin, it is guidance and good news for the believers. Alladhina yuqimuna as-salata wa yu'tuna az-zakata wa hum bil akhirati hum yuqinun, who pray regularly. Better translation, who establish the prayer, meaning they pray on time, they pray with devotion, they pray with meaning. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, and they pay the zakat, the obligatory alms. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, they have firm faith in the hereafter. This is a beautiful description of the believers. It starts by this beautiful introduction of who the believers are and what the Quran, the relationship of the believers is with the Quran. The Quran is a guide and a source of good news for the believers. It's a guide for us in all aspects of our life, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should conduct businesses, how we should conduct our family affairs, how we should view the world. It's a guide on how we should be in touch with our emotions, but also not let our emotions take over us. It's a guide in every aspect. It's a guide for the individual. It's a guide for the community. It's a guide for the world. Bushra, it's also a source of good news. It should give us optimism. When we read the Quran, it should clear our doubts. If you have nagging questions about the question, the idea of divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah, or the power of Allah to bring people into to recreate people after they were in existence, or Allah's justice when it comes to punishment, and you know, his mercy when it comes to health, his justice when it comes to the punishment of hellfire, his mercy when it comes to paradise. All these questions that we have around these constructs, Bushra al-Mu'mineen, the Quran is clearing all the doubts, and then it gives us optimism and good news, and that should make us happy. And this is one of the du'as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, that oh Allah, make the Quran the thing the rabi'a qalbi, it's the thing that is the spring of my heart, it brings me joy, and the thing that takes away wa dhahaba ahzani wa hammi wa ghammi. And the ayat, the wording of the dua is variant, the thing that takes away my grief and my sorrow. That's what the Quran is supposed to be for the believers. Who are these believers? They pray regularly and they pay the zakat. It starts with the prayer. That's the anchor that holds us down. We cannot let go of it. And then also helping those in need. That's what zakat is. And the iman that we have is we are certain in the hereafter. A very beautiful description. We ask Allah to make us of these people that who are certain they're going to stand in front of Allah, give an account for what they have done. And that moment is what guides the decisions they make today. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the people who don't live this way. Why do they choose that? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ, those who do not believe in the hereafter. What's the reason? زَيَّنَّا لَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We have feel their actions appear good to them. The world is pleasant, and that's all they're concerned with. And that causes them to wander blindly, meaning they're just, going around in the life of the world, okay? Whereas the believer is also taking what they have to take from the life of the world, but they're working towards their next life, and that is the difference between the two. Of course, these people will have a terrible punishment, and they will be of the greatest losers. Now, this surah has a phrase that repeats in it six times in six consecutive ayat. And that phrase that repeats in this surah, and I will show that to you, inshallah, in a little bit, is أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a God besides Allah? Is there a God that can be worshipped other than Allah? How is that something that's even a remote possibility? That is what the surah repeatedly asks. And that is the theme, to show us how it is, it is not something that is feasible, or it's not something that should be considered, that others should be are worthy of worship besides Allah. People worship others besides Allah, but that is something that is abhorrent, because only Allah is worthy of worship, and the surah is going to make a case for that. It starts by talking about, it's going to speak about miraculous signs. That's the thing that the surah will speak about. Miraculous signs in history, and miraculous signs all around us. Miraculous signs in history, we start by talking about the story of Musa. And by the way, in this past part of the Quran, the 20th juz, or maybe starting from the 17th juz, every single juz you find for the next little while, a mention of Musa in it, right? Very, very frequently his name comes again and again and again, again, because he's such an important, such a central character in the Quran. When Musa said to his family, I see a burning fire, and I will bring to you some news or a burning brand for you to warn yourself. But when he came, he was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with revelation, and chosen for the mission of prophethood. Okay, and given all the signs that he needs to convey the message to Fir'aun. This is the miraculous signs Allah gave to Musa. Right? This is a historical account of the miraculous signs. Okay, in this surah, ayah number 12 mentions that there were 9 miracles. في تسع آيات إلى فرعون وقومه إنهم كانوا قوما فاسقين. There will be one of nine signs for Pharaoh and his people, for truly they are rebellious people. Okay, nine miraculous signs, nine signs that Allah sent them that were miracles that you know these people rejected. Okay, that's how you know rebellious, that's how evil they were. It wasn't just like one thing and they're like, we're not sure, did we really see that or not? No, it was nine. And it was one sign that was that followed was bigger than the one that was previous, more obvious, more grand. And that still was something that did not convince them of accepting what Musa alayhi salam was bringing forward. Worship Allah and let Bani Israel go. Couldn't do that. They could not bring themselves to do that. They said, this is for hada sihrun mubin. This is clear sorcery. And wajahadu biha. They persisted in rejecting them wrongfully. Wastayqanatha anfusuhum dhulman wa uluwa. And arrogantly, they kept on rejecting them wrongfully and arrogantly, while in their hearts they were convinced of their truth. Oh, look at this. Inside they knew this is not a magician. Inside they knew this is not a liar. They knew this is a true prophet. Wastayqanatha from yaqeen. They had yaqeen within themselves that this is actually the right thing. But dhulman wa uluwa, they kept concealing that in terms, you know, wrongfully and arrogantly, and kept publicly opposing Musa. And that was the way they were. And then observe how the end of these people was. So this is a historical account of miraculous signs for Musa. After Musa was Dawud and Sulaiman, alayhi salam. He bestowed knowledge on David and Solomon, ayah number 15. And they both said, وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Praise be to God who has exalted us above many of his believing servants. Okay. What was these miraculous signs? Right? Miraculous signs. Number one, وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهُ النَّاسُ عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. Know my people that we have been given taught the speech of birds. وَأُوتِينَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we've been endowed with all good things. And that is not, you know, that didn't make them arrogant or something. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. This is God's manifest grace that he has allowed us to be in this manner. The screen is okay, right? Just wanted to make sure the screen is fine. Please, if someone tell me yes. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. All right. So, number one, they were given from, they were taught the speech of birds. They could understand the communication of birds. Number two, that they were endowed with all good things. By the way, this is a reference. The Quran makes this reference that the animals have communication between them. Right? This is something we know today from science. The Quran makes a reference to that from the time of Dawud and Sulaiman. Okay, Solomon, his army was amazing. His army was حُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. The hosts of jinn, men and birds, were all gathered in his presence and arranged in battle order. Okay, this was the amazing army of Solomon. What a great gift from Allah. That's number three. Yes, a great gift, a great miraculous sign. But here is the interesting thing. This great, powerful army was not an army of tyrants. These were righteous people, led by a righteous prophet and a righteous king. And they were not tyrants, not even to like the little ants. They wouldn't oppress or hurt even the little ants. Hatta idha atau ala wadin namli. Until when they came on to the valley of the ants. Qalat namla. One ant said, Ya ayyuhan naml, O ants, udkhulu masakinakum. Enter or go into your dwellings. La yahtimannakum Sulaymanu wa junuduhu. In case Solomon and his army, his hosts, inadvertently crush you. Wa hum la yash'urun. And they don't recognize. They don't realize they have done so, right? Because they're so big and powerful. You're so small. So go hide. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. So Solomon smiled broadly at its words. How nice. Sulaiman alayhi salam, right? Sulaiman alayhi salam. This is an example of that this great army was not an army of people that were oppressors and people who wanted to pillage and whatnot. This was a righteous army. And even a little valley of ants, little ants, they wouldn't hurt. And as he is reminded, Suleiman, of the favor of his Lord, that this is such a great favor that Allah has given me, that has given me this amazing army and the ability to understand the words of this this creature, right? He turns to Allah and says, Rabbi awzi'ni, my Lord, inspire me to be thankful for the blessings you have granted me and my parents, and to do good deeds that please you, and include me by your grace among your righteous servants. Okay, this is a beautiful dua. Ayah number 19, underline this. Make this dua. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. Okay, inspire me to be thankful for the blessings you have granted me and to my parents. And inspire me to do good deeds that please you. And include me by your grace among your righteous servants. And this is coming from a great king and a great prophet. He just wants to be among the righteous servants of Allah. He just wants to be grateful. What a beautiful attitude. That's how we should be. Okay. Now, with humility doesn't mean you become weak. So he is he is the general. He's the commander in chief. So he is taking account of his army. He sees, you know, the hoopoe is missing. Hudhud. Hudhud is the bird. Okay. The hoopoe is missing. Where is he missing? Why is he not here? He has to maintain order in his army. So he says, if the hoopoe doesn't show up, لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَيَتِيَنِّي أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانِ مُبِينٍ. Right? He has to keep his house in check, in order. Otherwise, it's going to be chaos. So he is tough as a commander. But he's gentle with his subjects. Okay? But Hudhud had a reason. Right? Bring me a good reason. Hudhud brought a good reason. What did Hudhud say? He said, I have learned something that you did not know. I have come to you from Sheba with reliable news. What is Sheba? Sheba is a kingdom. And there was a queen that ruled that kingdom. And she was queen of Sheba. Okay? And we're going to learn about that lady today in this story. And what an incredible, story that is. Before we get to that, I actually forgot to mention, look at this ant, right? The ant here in ayah number 18. Isn't it so nice? This ant, when the Quran mentions the speech of somebody, right? Somebody good, right? There's something to learn from that, whether it's a person or a jinn or an angel or an ant, right? And what we learn from the ant here is the ant is so selfless. This one ant could have run away and hid itself, right? And saved its life. But this ant is showing the quality of selflessness, the quality of caring and having the back of its community, right? These are beautiful qualities. These are qualities that are admirable across the board. This is how a believer should be. We shouldn't be selfish, obsessed about ourselves only. Okay. Now let's come to Hudhud. Hudhud says, well, I saw this queen, and this queen, she had everything. Utiyat min kulli shay. And she had a mighty throne, but they were worshipping the sun instead of God. How could they worship the sun? Right? Again, remember the story, the theme of the surah is, how can there be a God besides Allah? Right? This is what they were doing. They had everything, and yet they didn't figure this out. Allah yasjudu lillah, should they not worship? Why should they not worship God, who brings forth what is hidden in the heavens and in the earth, and He knows what you conceal and what you make known, right? Allahu la ilaha illahu rabbul arshil azim. He is God, the one. There is no one worthy of worship besides Him, the Lord of the mighty throne. Okay, this is a place again where you can make sajda. This is the symbol for that. Inshallah, you can make that afterwards. All right. Suleiman says, all right, let's verify what you have said. Let's verify what you've said. Are you just making an excuse to get out of trouble, or are you really telling the truth? This is actually, you know, important leadership lessons to ensure that, you know, he's running an army, so he's not running like a corporation, but an army. This is important to maintain the chain of command and to make sure that no one, you know, below can cause a friction that will compromise the whole army, right? So he's going to verify. How is he going to verify? He says, take this letter of mine and lay it before them, and then withdraw from them and see how they respond. What is this letter? The letter, now see, he says to the Hudhud, take my letter. Now the scene cuts to where the letter has been received, and the queen of Sheba is now reading this letter, okay? And she says, Ya ayyuhal mala' inni ulqiya ilayya kitabun kareem. Oh, counselors, an honorable letter has been delivered to me. Innahu min Sulaymana wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It is from Solomon. It reads bismillahir rahmanir rahim. This is the only place in the Quran where bismillahir rahmanir rahim comes in the middle of the ayah, huh? Did you know that? This is the only place. You can highlight that for like a Quran trivia thing if you ever participate in that, maybe in the Kahoot on Sunday, and if you win a prize, set it my way. Allah ta'alu alayya wa'tuni muslimin. Do not exalt yourselves above me, but come to me in all submission. Subhanallah. He gets straight to the point. Don't resist, accept Islam and accept my rule. Again, this is a powerful king, a righteous king and a righteous prophet. Look at the lessons we're going to learn from this lady, the queen of Sheba. She's not a Muslim right now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning what she's going to do, because there's wisdom in how she conducts herself. She says, Ya ayyuhal mala'u, aftuni fi amri. Oh, my counselors, oh, my leaders, advise me about this. Ma kuntu qati'atan amran hatta tashhadun. I never decide an affair till I have conferred with you. I never make a decision until I have spoken to you and asked your opinion. This is exactly what a leader should do, right? Anybody who's in charge of anything, that's how they should be. They should be able to consult the people who are with her, her supporters, her core group of people, and make sure that they're on board before she makes or he makes a decision. And here, the Queen of Sheba is doing that beautifully. Okay, the advisors, I say, they said, well, we are strong, وَأُولُو بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. We are, we're tough warriors. We can battle, no problem, right? If he wants to fight, we can fight. Why not? They're almost like saying, bring it on. وَالْأَمْرُ إِلَيْكِ. But the decision is in your hands. فَانْذُرِي مَاذَا تَأْمُرِينَ. So consider what you will say, what you command. It's your choice. Tell us what you think. Look at this lady, right? Her generals are ready to fight. Now, she wants to go into war, she could go into war and be, you know, someone who is acting probably out of emotion, not out of rationality. But look at how she is. She is a rational person. He says, قَالَتْ إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرِيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. She said, surely when the mighty kings invade a country, they despoil it and humiliate its noblest inhabitants. وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. And these men will do the same. She's like, war has a very steep price, right? Because it destroys your land. It humiliates you. Even if you win, you lose people, right? It has a steep price. So she said, let's not jump into it. Let's negotiate. Let's try to see what they want. Maybe they want a tribute. Let's send them a gift to see, will they accept that and then back away? Maybe they just want a tribute from us. And that's better than going out all out into war. This is actually really interesting, right? Look again. This is a lady. At this point, she's not a Muslim. The Quran is mentioning what she's saying and how she's, you know, making decisions to give us the idea that these are actually noble characteristics. Consulting with people is a noble characteristic. Wanting to avoid confrontation is a noble characteristic. De-escalation is a noble characteristic. This is a lady who's showing what leadership looks like, right? It shows you, by the way, that women can be in leadership positions, okay? There are, it's about merit more than anything else. This lady had merit, and that's why she had, the ability to make decisions. Okay, that said, Sulaiman al-Islam was in no mood to accept any offering. He was like, well, no, I'm not here to take any tributes from you. I'm here to, bring you under the rule of God, okay? And if you resist, I'm going to send you an army that will you have no hope against, and you will be disgraced and humbled. Sulaiman al-Islam is a warrior as well, and he's leading an army, and this is how armies are led, right? They are led to win, they're not led to like lose. So Sulaiman al-Islam makes it very clear he's in no mood for that, but he still wants to avoid war. He still wants to avoid war despite being powerful. So he says, you know what? يَا أَيُّهُ الْمَلَأُ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. O counselors, he turns to his chiefs, who can bring her throne to me before they come to me in submission? Because he wants to show her that this is not, I'm not just powerful king and I'm going to humiliate you. He actually wants to show her that he's a messenger of God and Allah has given him miraculous signs. Okay, a strong demon said, I'll bring it to you before you stand up. But a demon who had عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, who had knowledge of the book, he said, I can bring it to you in the twinkling of an eye. The previous guy said, I can bring it to you قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ, before you stand up from your seat. I'm strong and trustworthy. But this guy said, I can bring it to you in the twinkling of the eye. But notice interesting here. The first one is mentioned as Ifrit. Ifrit is actually a powerful jinn. That's the name for a powerful jinn. You can think of it like a bodybuilder type jinn, okay? But this one is mentioned as قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. He had knowledge of the book. That shows you that sometimes brute strength and brute force is not going to win the day. You have to use skill and knowledge and wisdom, and that will actually trump brute force, okay? Obviously, the combination of skill, knowledge, intelligence, and force is irresistible, okay? But if you are, picking just, force and just brute force versus intelligent scheming and wisdom, you would actually think that most of the time intelligent plans and wisdom would win. And that's one something we learned from this ayah as well. أَنَا أَتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. Okay, there's many parallels in life. If you're trying to like construct something, and if you're brute force, just hammering, you're probably gonna break it. Okay, but you have to use some of the skill, a little bit of tactics, a little bit of method, and then you're fine. And then a little bit of force obviously helps. So look at this guy. He does so. He brings it. When Sulaiman al-Islam has her throne in the twinkling of his eye, right? This is a jinn with superpowers. Right? He traveled across the land in light speed, brought this throne and brought it back in light speed. Wow. Okay. Sulaiman al-Islam did not say, okay, cool. He turned around and thanked Allah. He said, هذا من فضل ربي. This is by the grace of my Lord. This is Allah's blessing upon me. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. He wants to see, am I grateful or am I ungrateful? Whoever is grateful, it is for their own good. And whoever is ungrateful, then surely my Lord is self-sufficient and generous. Allah doesn't need your thanks for him to be who he is. It doesn't increase him in any way. It doesn't decrease him in any way. It's you who benefit. It's I who benefits if I thank Allah for the good he gives me. Okay, look at again the humility of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that he doesn't let his blessings turn him into someone who becomes entitled. He always is reminded when he has a blessing that I should thank Allah for the blessing I have. And that is the believer's attitude, the attitude of gratitude. All right. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, of course, now is going to say, disguise her throne. Let's see if she can spot. When she came, she said, yes, this throne looks like my throne. But you know what? We actually learned about who you were. And وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ. We actually accepted Islam before we came. We actually became believers before we came. So the war was avoided, alhamdulillah, because she figured out that this is a prophet and not just some power-hungry king. And she accepted the message and became Muslim. Okay. And as she was entering to enter the palace, قِيلَ لَهَا دْخُلِ الصَّرْحِ. She was told, enter the palace. But then when she saw the palace, she thought it was that the floor was a lujjatan. It was a deep pool of water. وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقِيهَا. So she lifted her dress, bared her legs, thinking that she's going to have to step into water. She didn't realize this was like a see-through floor. قال إنه صرح ممرد من قوارير. Solomon said, this is a palace paved with glass. Allahu Akbar. The palace of Sulaiman, the floor was glass. So clear, so pristine, that if you, when you see the water that's flowing from under it, you actually think you're going to step in the water, right? It's like that beautiful sandy beach. When you look at the water, you can see the sand right through, right? One of those like beaches in like Mauritius or something, yes? Somewhere in the Caribbean. That same idea. That's how clear this glass was. And now she realizes even more that this is a prophet of Allah. This is not just some like person who's really powerful. He, these are the miraculous signs that he has been given. She said, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi wa aslamtu ma'a Sulaymana lillahi rabbil alameen. She said, my Lord, I have wronged myself, and now I submit myself along with Solomon to God, the Lord of the universe. And this is a story of the Queen of Sheba that's mentioned in Surah number 27. A very beautiful story. You would, you know, the Quran mentions powerful women, their stories, and she is one of them. There's many lessons to learn from her story, that you don't let your emotions overtake your rationality. Had she done that, she would not have been a Muslim, and she would not have been, she would have lost out. She would have lost her kingdom, her life, all that. But she used her reasoning and logic, and that allowed her to prevail. She, you know, didn't lose, you know, her kingdom or her life, and she accepted Islam and attained salvation. And that's a very beautiful thing. So these are miraculous signs that Allah shows throughout history. Musa was giving miraculous signs. Sulaiman was given miraculous signs. Then you have Salih alayhi salam, ayah number 45, given miraculous signs. What is the miraculous signs that he was given? He was given the camel that was brought out from the rock. But the people were not really interested in believing in him, right? Why? They said, well, we see you and your followers as an evil omen. قَالُوا طَيَّرْنَا بِكَ وَبِمَا مَعَكَ. We think you are evil and you are the source of evil. And we, you know, think you guys are messed up. He says, قَالَ طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. He says, your evil omen is with, قَالَ طَائِرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Excuse me. Your evil omen is with Allah. But antum qawmun tuftanun. The truth is, you are a people being put to the test, right? There's no evil omens here. Whatever good or bad you get is by the decree of Allah, okay? It's by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's by His permission. You are being tested right now. You see a miracle. This camel you demanded, this camel is here, appearing and emerging out of a rock. You never thought it was going to be possible, but here it is. And now you are caught between the rock and a hard place, no pun intended. You are now caught between the choice of accepting this miracle as real and accepting Salih alayhi salam as a prophet. And that is too much for you to bear because you're too arrogant. And you, that will be a type of a humiliation. Or you are caught between somehow denying this clear miracle. This is the point. Antum qawmun tuftanun. The people demanding miracles and then magic tricks from prophets, if they were shown them, like here historically, here with Fir'aun, here with Salih, they don't really say, oh, great, all right, confirmed he's a prophet. That's not the thing. They become even more stubborn, even more like they dig their heels into their kufr. Whereas the one who is not demanding miracles, like the Queen of Sheba, when she sees a miracle, immediately she's like, yep, definitely this is the prophet of God, right? So it's, you see, it's the nature of the person and whether they want to believe or not, that determines how they view the miracle. And here, when they saw the miracle, they didn't want to accept it. And what they did, in fact, is that they plotted to kill this camel. And there were 9 men who did it. كَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There were 9 evil people. They'd planned that let's attack Saleh and his family. And if, you know, Saleh's family comes and says, you know, like Saleh's clan or something comes and says, you know, we want justice. It says, مَا شَهِدْنَا مَهْلِكَ أَهْلِهِ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. We didn't do anything when he was destroyed. We're telling the truth. And they devised a plan, but Allah devised a plan as well. And then they were destroyed. Nine people, right? We would say, well, that's, how is that fair? Nine people were the ones who caused this. Why not the whole city and community? Why were they destroyed? Well, two reasons. Number one, they were not, they didn't stop this, right? This plan was put into action with their you know, tacit approval. This is an evil thing to do. And they didn't stop this. And number two, the whole community, besides the ones who believed in Salih, didn't actually believe in the camel as a miracle, even though they demanded it. And then, as the Quran mentions in other places, فَعَقَرُوهَا, they hamstrung it. They killed it. And then they tried to kill Salih. Okay? So that is where now you have sealed your fate. And now you are asking for God's punishment. And that's exactly what happened. أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ وَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. We utterly, we destroyed them and their people utterly all together. Right? They killed the camel. They tried to kill Salih alayhi salam. Before they could kill Salih alayhi salam, they were destroyed. These nine people were the real troublemakers. This is an important lesson. The corrupt elements of society have to be, you know, corrected, have to be controlled, because they could lead a community down this devastating path of destruction. Okay? It's not just say, oh, just a minority of people who are, you know, bad, but the rest of us are good people. Oh, you got to address that as well. Wallahu alam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in those destroyed homes, there are signs for people of knowledge, right? The people of knowledge recognize you don't need to see miraculous signs to believe in God, because God's miraculous signs are all over the place, okay? What are the miraculous signs of God? Ayah number 59 speaks about those miraculous signs. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ. Praise be to God and peace be upon His chosen servants. أَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Is God better or what they associate with Him? Is He who created the heavens and the earth and sends down water for you from the sky, by which we make luxuriant gardens grow? So you could... So much so you could never make such trees grow in them. Is it another deity besides God? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ. They are indeed a people who want to equate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to see signs of who your Lord is? You look around and signs are everywhere. Okay? أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا. Who is it that made the earth a stable place to live in and made rivers flow through it, who set mountains upon it, placed a barrier between the two seas so that the salty water, the fresh water, remains fresh and we can consume it? Is there any deity besides God? Indeed, most of them have no knowledge. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who responds to the call of the oppressed when he calls out to him? The experience of making dua and the dua being heard. وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Who is the one who relieves suffering? وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. Who makes you inheritors on the earth? Who allows you to flourish on the earth? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a God besides, is there any God besides Allah? قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. How little you pay heed. The system of the creation, the beauty and the harmony in it, the blessings that we have that allow us to live and thrive, all of that, the personal experience of finding God, all of that tells you what? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. Who guides you in the darkness of the land and sea? Who helps you navigate these things when you are stuck? You know, you feel like you're stuck and you've hit a wall, and then there's an opening that you find. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sends you these openings. He sends you the wind as heralds of His mercy. The wind cools down people when they're hot. The wind blows the sails of the ships. The wind pollinates the flowers. The wind moves around the clouds and brings the rain. The wind is a carrier of Allah's mercy. It brings relief after suffering. Who does that? إِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any deity besides God? تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Exalted is God above those that they associate with Him. That's the fourth instance. Fifth instance. أَمَّا يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ. Sorry, that was the fifth one. Sorry, this is the sixth one coming. أَمَّا يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثم يعيده ومن يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أإله مع الله. Who originates the creation, then regenerates it, and who gives you sustenance from the heaven and the earth? Who causes the creation? Right? He began the creation, the process of it. And then this repeats again and again and again. Daily kids are born. Daily animals are born. Right? He started the process by creating the universe. And he repeats it again and again. And he provides for you, not just leaves you to figure this out yourself. يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a God besides Allah? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring forward your proofs if you're telling the truth. So this is the thing. The surah talks about the miraculous signs. The miraculous signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The miraculous signs historically and the miraculous signs of Allah all around us. Okay? Very, very beautiful, very important things for us to consider. The people, again, who are in denial, they're going to say, how is this going to happen, right? How will we be brought back to life, right? We were promised this, our fathers were promised this, what gives? How come this hasn't happened? قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, Ayah 69, roam across the land and observe what was the end of the sinful ones. Go and see how Allah took to task the people who rejected him. Okay, the prophets is told, don't feel grief over them and don't be distressed at their schemes, O Prophet. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَقُوا فِي ضَيْكِمْ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. They would continue. The attitude of the disbelievers is, despite all these beautiful, clear signs of who God is, they say, when will this promise be fulfilled? When is this day of judgment going to come? The answer is, Allah knows best. He has hidden it. But عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ رَضِيفَ لَكُمْ. It may be that it's close because your end of life is your day of judgment, right? So you don't know when you're going to die. So don't hasten your demise just because you don't like what you hear. Don't hasten your demise. Your Lord is bountiful to mankind, but most are not grateful. He gives chances, but most of the people don't consider the chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Okay. The surah concludes with ayah number 89. Okay. With a very beautiful. Ayah number 87. Ayah number 87. Some scenes from the Day of Judgment. Miraculous ayat of Allah. Miraculous signs of Allah that are to come. Right. Miraculous signs that came before. Miraculous signs that are all around us. And now the miraculous signs that are to come on the Day of Judgment. What is that? وَيُوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ, on the day when the trumpet is blown. And whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth will be struck with terror. فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except for those whom God wishes to spare. All will come to Him in utter humility. The trumpet is blown, as we'll see in another surah that's coming up. In surah number 39, the trumpet is blown the first time, and that signals the end of the world. Everybody dies. Then it's blown the second time by the angel Israfil. And then every single person who had ever lived will be brought back to life. And that's when the day of judgment begins. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً. You see the mountains and you think they are firmly fixed. But on that day, وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ, it shall pass away as the clouds pass away. The Quran speaks about this, the Day of Judgment, and makes this very clear. And this is an important thing for us to understand, for those of us who want to, you know, like we're trying to understand how will the earth be changed. The Quran actually says this in Surah 14, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. On the day the earth shall be changed into another earth, as shall the heavens. The rules of physics, the laws of nature that we know, no longer apply on that day. Because the earth will be changed fundamentally into a different earth. And the sky will be changed to a different sky. So all that we know of it, like the mountain is not supposed to float in the air, that rule applied to the world as we know it today. On the Day of Judgment, the world will be changed. And that's when you see the mountains are just flying away. And this kind of chaos adds to the chaos of the day, the gravity of the day. Of the Day of Judgment. Such is the work of God who has ordained, ordered all things to perfection. He is fully aware of what you do. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu khayrun minha. A beautiful conclusion to the surah. Whoever does a good deed shall be rewarded with what is better. And they will be secure from the fear of the day of judgment. And the one who brings a good deed, sorry, man jaa bil sayyi'a. But those who do evil will be flung down on their faces in the fire. Are you not rewarded according to your deeds? It's actually because of what you have earned. That is why you are in this situation. The Prophet is told to worship Allah alone and to an atlu al Quran, to recite the Quran. Okay, this is what he's told, to worship Allah alone and to recite the Quran and to follow its guidance. Whoever follows his guidance follows it for the good of their own soul. And whoever goes astray, say to them, I am only a warner. We can just tell you, your choice is your choice. You make your choices. Say, praise be to God. He will show you his signs and you will recognize them. فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا. You will recognize them in your heart. You will recognize them, within yourselves. Whether you choose to accept them or not, that's the different question. But you will recognize them. You will feel God's power. You will feel His plan in action. You will see His wisdom. Whether you choose to accept it or not is your choice. But you will see it. فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Your Lord is not unaware of what you do. He knows exactly the choices you're going to make. Surah Qasas, Surah 28. Being certain that Allah's promise is the truth. That is Surah Qasas. It starts with the same disjointed letters, Ta, Sin, Mim. These are the verses of the book that makes things clear. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. And I hope you appreciate that when the Quran says this, it truly is the book that clarifies concepts for us. The Quran doesn't focus on halal, haram so much. The rulings are actually very few in the Quran. We haven't seen much since Surah number 5, actually. Okay, very few rulings we've seen since Surah 5. Most of those rulings are in the first few surahs and a few in the later on. But the Quran vastly speaks about, concepts that people get hung up on that prevent them from being fully devoted to Allah. Because if you can be fully devoted to Allah, then you will figure out how to practice your religion, how to pray, how to do this and that. Those are all, things that are easy to solve and easy to understand. This is the hard part. And that's what the Quran does. It clarifies these things, unties the knots that a person might have, mental blocks in their mind. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin, it makes things clear. How does Allah do that? He chooses the instrument of telling stories of the past. Lessons from history. That's what the Quran uses as a way to clarify things, as a way to teach us things. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ نَبَإِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. We shall narrate to you some of the story of Moses and the Pharaoh with truth for people who believe. Who is the Pharaoh? What kind of tyrant is he? He is so arrogant. He divided the people into groups. This is classic, divide and conquer. That's how the colonists ruled. That's how, imperialists rule today. That's how Fir'aun ruled. Because Fir'aun was not like necessarily an overpowering majority. He had to make sure that Bani Israel did not overpower him. How did you do that? You divide them into groups and you make them fight each other and you install puppets to rule over them, and that's how you maintain your dominance. Sounds familiar? Well, Fir'aun, wrote the book on that. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. And he was seeking to weaken a section of them. Perhaps the one that he was most afraid from. The ones he was most concerned about. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Slaying their sons. Humiliating them by killing their newborn sons. What can be more humiliating than that? وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. And sparing their daughters. To weaken their resolve. To weaken the army. To make them, to tell them, I can do whatever I want with you. I can enslave you. I can take your women and enslave them. I can kill your children. That is who Fir'aun was. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ Can you imagine living under that? Can you imagine the mentality of the people who grew up in that system? How colonized and oppressed their minds must have been. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, despite all, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ We wish to favor those who were oppressed in the land, to make them leaders, to make them inheritors of our bounties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants even the most downtrodden, oppressed people, Allah will lift them up. And that is what Allah wanted with the Israelites, to give them power in the land, to show to Pharaoh and Haman that this is something, the thing you are fearing for, it's coming for you. How does it start? Okay. Notice the theme here. The theme is being certain of Allah's promise. Notice how Allah is going to make a promise and then keep a promise. Okay. And this is going to show us how we should be certain in the promise of Allah. Here Allah makes a promise to the mother of Musa. When she is afraid of him being killed. Okay. Allah says to her, أَرْضِعِيهِ Suckle him. That will help him calm down. That will also calm your nerves down. Okay. Because there's a beautiful connection the mother and baby have when that process is taking place. Now, when you're afraid that the guards of the Pharaoh are close, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي Cast him in the river. Have no fear and do not grieve. SubhanAllah. You would think that would cause a lot of grief. You throw your baby in the river. But Allah says, don't grieve. Don't worry. Here's Allah's promise. Two promises. Number one, إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْهِ We will make him return to you. He shall return to you for sure. Don't worry about it. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِ He won't drown. He won't get killed. He will be back. And we will make him a messenger. Allahu Akbar. All right? Now, how does Allah fulfill his promise? Ayah number 13. The Pharaoh's wife rescues... actually, let's go to ayah number 9. Pharaoh's wife rescues this baby. She says, don't kill him. He's going to be a source of joy for me and for you. Maybe we can, maybe he'll be of use. Don't kill him. And that is how he survived. He wasn't killed. But then how did he come back? The Musa's mother said to his sister, Qussihi, go watch him, follow him as he's floating down the river. She's watched him from a distance like a stranger without anyone noticing her. فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبْ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ They didn't want to, she didn't want them to think that they're related. Okay, look at how smart this girl is. And look at how many women are mentioned in this surah. The mother of Musa, the wife of Fir'aun, the sister of Musa. Okay, but look how smart this young lady is. She follows him, but doesn't give away that they are related. Okay? And her heart's probably full of anxiety, but she's putting on a very beautiful poker face. Now, Musa alayhi salam is not suckling from any woman. حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِيَ The sister steps in, walks into the palace of the Pharaoh, the tyrant, the man, the baby killer. Okay, walks into his palace and says, I can tell you of a family that'll take care of him. And I can tell you somebody who is going to bring him up for you, make sure that he's fed. And that's how he came back to the mother. فَرَضَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا We restored him to his mother so that he might be comforted and not grieve anymore. And so that she would know that God's promise was true, that Allah would keep his promises. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ But most of the people don't realize this. Look at how smart this... There's so many lessons in this story. SubhanAllah, I feel so bad. I'm skipping ayat here. Every ayah here has tons of lessons. Okay, look at first the mother of Musa. She's not saying, okay, God told me my child is going to be back. So let me just sit on my hands and wait for him to be back. No, that's not what trusting Allah means. That's not what tawakkul means. Tawakkul in Allah. Trusting Allah means you take all the means necessary. You hustle as hard as you can hustle. And then whatever you don't control, it's in Allah's hands. And that is Allah's, we leave that with Allah. That's what tawakkul truly means. What does she do? What's the most that she could do? The most she could do is have her daughter observe where baby Moses ends up. So she instructs him to do that. Okay, so this is what tawakkul is. Second lesson, look at how amazing the sister of Musa is. She doesn't give away the relationship that they have. She doesn't, you know, hint that this is a plan that she's hatching or whatnot. And she takes initiative to go up into the palace and takes the risk to go up to these people who are murderers to say, you know what, I can help you out here, right? This is a courageous young woman. How amazing. And these characters are in the Quran for us to ponder and learn from their life stories and be inspired by their characteristics to be like them. Okay, so she took initiative. That's what we should be doing too, taking initiative to, you know, get what needs to be done. That what we need to get done, she took initiative. That's what we should be doing to take initiative to get stuff done. All right, Musa alayhi salam now is in trouble. See, promise made to Musa's mother, promise kept to Musa's mother, subhanAllah. Now, Musa alayhi salam will find himself in trouble because he's grown up. He is a fully grown man. He's mature. He is strong. He ends up seeing two people fighting. And he recognizes one of them is an Israelite and the other is an Egyptian. And you want to side with the oppressed. So he's siding with the oppressed without recognizing that oppressed person is actually a troublemaker. What does he do? He goes and punches. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ Musa punches or struck this man with his fist. That's a punch, yes? فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ And this Egyptian died, right? When we think about Muhammad Ali's punch to Sonny Liston, like one punch knockout, right? Or, you know, any great fighter and whatnot. But this is Musa al-Assad. One punch and you die. So this is how strong he was. Again, I tell you, another tangent, that Allah does not praise Musa's physical strength. He praised his wisdom and knowledge. Just like with Yusuf, you might remember the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised his wisdom and knowledge. They didn't praise his physical beauty. Okay, even though those are praiseworthy things, but those are praiseworthy when coupled with wisdom and knowledge. Power is praiseworthy when coupled with wisdom and knowledge. And that is something that's quite fascinating, how the Quran focuses on that. Musa alayhi salam is in trouble because now he knows these people who can't stand him, right? Who can't stand him. Now they might get a reason to actually persecute him, right? Imagine the Israelite is growing up in the palace of the Pharaoh, protected by the queen herself, okay? And this is like, you know, it's like he's rubbing their nose in the dirt every time every day he exists, okay? So Musa alayhi salam is now, he starts to recognize this is not going to be a good thing. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا He was apprehensive and watchful. He said, I want to see you. Did someone watch me? What's going to happen here? And that man who was quarreling yesterday was quarreling again with somebody else. Musa alayhi salam is like, you're the one who's the troublemaker. إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ Sorry, I keep flipping the ayah. Excuse me. You are clearly a misguided man. Now, Musa alayhi salam says, فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْطِشَ بِالَّذِي هُوَ عَدُوٌ لَهُمَا When he wanted to catch the one who was an enemy to them both, this troublemaking Israelite, this man, this ungrateful, you know, punk, he gives away Musa al-Islam. He says, hey, Moses, you want to kill me today? Just like you killed a man yesterday? أَتُرِيدُ أَنْ تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ You are a tyrant in the land. You don't want to do things right. You're just out here, you know, using your power and abusing your power. Subhanallah. Now Musa alayhi salam knows he is in true trouble because now people are like, yep, he's the murderer. And now they're coming after him. And now they have a reason to go after him. Before anything else, a man comes from the far side of the city. Tells him, Moses, the authorities are conspiring to kill you. So leave the city. The plan is already in motion, right? They've always wanted to do it. Now they have the reason to do it. فَخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ Leave, I'm one of your well-wishers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this, by the way. When you are in trouble, Allah will always provide you his help. Musa alayhi salam got help from this man, this anonymous man who came and warned Musa, they're coming for you, Musa, run away right now, right? Had he not warned him, maybe Musa would have thought, let me go back to the palace, let me quickly gather my things and let me run away. And that would have been his end, right? But here is a man who came to his rescue. You will find this in your life a lot. Musa alayhi salam left. Musa alayhi salam, as he reaches, or as he's fleeing, he reaches all the way across Egypt. He runs all across, all the way across Egypt, and ends up in Midian. Okay, Midian is, you know, closer to it's like you cross the border of Egypt towards the east. You know, you across you know, towards the Sinai Peninsula and across that moor. Okay, that's where Midian is. That's where he ends up, and when he's there, he makes dua. Okay, he makes a dua in ayah number 24. Okay, my Lord, I am truly in need of whatever blessing you may have sent down, or you may send down to me. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Whatever blessing you send down to me, my Lord, I am in desperate need of it. Please help me, my Lord. Okay, this is a dua. Underline this ayah as well. Make this dua, especially those who are trying to get married. I'll tell you why in a bit. Before he made this dua, ayah 23, he reaches this new place, Madian. He is a fleeing fugitive in a way, right? He's fleeing persecution. He sees something that's wrong here. He sees something that's wrong. What does he see that's wrong? He sees a group of people, group of men, watering their flocks. And he saw two women standing apart from them, who were holding back their flocks. The flock wants the water, but these two women are holding back their flocks. This is clearly unfair. Why are these two women not getting water for their flocks? Right? This is unfair. Musa alayhi salam says, what is the matter with you? Ma khatubukuma? What's the matter with you? Why don't you get water? Qala ta'ala nasqi hatta yusdir ar-ri'a. They said, we cannot draw water until the shepherds have taken away their sheep. We can't do this until the men here are done. Wa abuna shaykhun kabir, and our father is a very old man. That's why we're here. Our father can't do this. Okay? So Musa alayhi salam watered their flocks for them. And then he made this dua. This is such a beautiful detail. You do something good for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always reward you. Always make sure that that good is not lost. That good deed is not just done in vain. Some other good would come your way. Some other good will come your way in this world and most definitely in the next world. What good came Musa's way? One of the two girls said, my father wants to speak to you and reward you for what you have done for us. Okay? And notice how she tamshi ala istihya. She came up walking with, it said shyly. Istihya would better transition would be, she came walking in a manner that wasn't flirtatious. She wasn't leading him on. She was, you know, making sure that she kept her boundaries from Musa. Right? He's a young man, he's a young woman. You know what can happen. So she's making sure that those lines are not crossed. She's the way she walks, the way she talks, make sure that Musa alayhi salam, and she doesn't cross that line, and Musa doesn't have any temptation to cross that line either. Look at the beautiful character of this lady. Another woman mentioned here in the surah, huh? Make a note of that. This is the fourth one, okay? فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. When Moses came to their father and gave him account of himself, he said, don't worry, you have escaped the wrongdoing people. Musa alayhi salam made dua when he was running away, or Musa was in trouble. Allah promised him to take care of him. He makes the dua that, oh Allah, protect me from the wrongdoing people. Dua is answered. Alhamdulillah, he's protected from the wrongdoing people. Musa alayhi salam made dua, my Lord, I need any good you can send me. Ayah number 24. Whatever good you send me, my Lord, I'm in desperate need of it. That dua is answered. One of the girls says, father, hire him. For the best man to hire is someone strong and trustworthy. He can, you know, he's strong and trustworthy. He volunteered to do this. Clearly, he's trustworthy. And he's strong. We saw him. He was able to get us water. Hire him. This is actually a very beautiful combination. This is the correct combination for someone, for a hiring manager. You need someone who's strong, someone who knows what they're doing, okay? But you also need somebody who is trustworthy, meaning they're motivated to do the job. They won't like cut corners. They won't just like sit there, you know, being a bum, right? You need the skill, al-qawi, and the will, al-amin. Both of those are needed. You may have somebody who has a lot of will, right? But no skill, disaster. You have somebody who has a lot of skill, but no will. Kawi, but not Amin. Disaster. You have somebody who has neither, even bigger disaster, right? This is a perfect combination of the two. And that is what she says about Musa alayhi salam. And that's why she said, hire him, O father. He is the right candidate. What does the father do? The father says, I would like you to marry one of my two daughters. Marry one of my two daughters. On the condition that you stay 8 years in my service. That was the mahar. The mahar, the dowry is, you will serve me and work for me for 8 years. If you wish to do 10 years, that's your choice. But 8 is the minimum, 10 is the maximum. I don't want to impose any hardship upon you. God willing, you will find me a fair person. Musa al-Islam accepted that and says, whichever two I choose, that's my choice. But yes, I accept these terms. And yes, I will marry one of your two daughters. So Musa al-Islam lost his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a family. Musa al-Islam lost his home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a new home. Musa al-Islam lost his peace and security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him peace and security. Promise made, promise kept. That is something that we should learn from this story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps his promises to his chosen ones. Also an interesting point. The Quran doesn't say which of the two he married. It doesn't say that. Because that's none of our business. It doesn't matter who he married. This is not TMZ or something, okay? We're concerned about learning the lessons from the story, not about the personal private lives of people. And Musa alayhi salam's private life, those details are not mentioned. We're just told he married one of the two. Alhamdulillah. So a very beautiful story of Musa alayhi salam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salam in ayah number 30. Oh Moses, I am God, the Lord of the universe. Okay? The ayat are given again, the staff, the hand. But Allah makes a promise to Musa alayhi salam. Okay. Musa says, oh my Lord, they will kill me if I go back. And my Lord, my tongue, my brother is more eloquent than me. My brother Harun is more eloquent than me. فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ رِدْعَيْ يُصَدِّقُنِي. Send him with me to support me and back me up, for I fear they will reject me. Right? By the way, look at the humility of Musa alayhi salam. He recognizes that his brother is better in speech, right? This is the virtuous are able to see virtues of others. That's who Musa alayhi salam was, okay? Allah promises to Musa, you will be supported by your brother and you will have power so that they will not be able to harm you. فَلَا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا. Don't worry, go ahead, right? Allah makes the promise to Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the promise to Musa alayhi salam, right? He أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. He seized him and his hosts and tossed them into the sea. Consider the end of the wrongdoers. This is the beautiful thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this story, right? This story speaks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Quraysh as well. There is a parallel. O people of Quraysh, there's a parallel here. The parallel is you are acting like the Pharaoh. The Prophet ﷺ here is the Musa and you're acting like Fir'aun. That's what's going on right now, Quraysh. You need to stop before Allah fulfills his promise to his Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet, the Quraysh, you guys didn't know any of this information before. You were not there at the side of the mount when we gave Moses our command. You were not among the witnesses. We're not next to the mountain of Tur, right? This was unknown information to you, O Prophet ﷺ, and to your people. It is revelation that Allah sent. وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ إِذْ نَادَيْنَا وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ. But we sent it as a mercy from your Lord. لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا. So you may warn people. مَا أَتَاهُم مِّن نَذِيرٍ. Who no warner has come to them before. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. So that they may take heed. You see, this is what Allah says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Quraysh. He says, when the truth came to them, they said, why haven't we given what Moses had been given? لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى. Well, didn't they also reject what Moses brought before? Didn't they say, we reject them both? وَإِنَّا بِكُلٍ كَافِرُونَ. This is the thing. You reject one prophet, you are going to reject all of them as well. Okay, the Quran mentions that the Quraysh has a whole bunch of lies that they are that they are fabricating, right? Ayah number 59. I'll just conclude with a couple of the quick things, inshallah. I'm sorry for taking a little longer. Ayah number 57. Quraysh says, "Inna tabi'ul huda ma'aka nutakhattaf min ardina." If we were to follow your guidance, we shall be uprooted from our land. We will lose everything that we have. Right? This is a lie. There's no reason to make this kind of conclusion. Why would you conclude that? Why would the Prophet, believing in the Prophet, all of a sudden take everything away from you? Just because you don't have idols anymore, you think your business is going to go down? Okay? What is the reason why your businesses are protected? Your businesses are protected because you live next to the haram. The haram is not because of the idols. The haram is because the Kaaba is sanctified because of Allah and His Prophet Ibrahim, not because of your idols. أَوَلَمْ نُوَكِّلْ لَهُمْ حَرَمًا آمِنًا. Have you not established for them a safe haven to which fruits of every kind are brought to them as a provision from ourselves? It's a haraman amina. Everybody comes here in peace. Fruits are brought because when people come to this place, they come with fruits and goods to trade. You don't have to leave any place. You get your stuff coming to you, delivered to you in Makkah. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. How could you say, Quraysh, that you will lose everything by believing? This is false. This is absolutely false. And this kind of attitude, how many townships before were destroyed when they became arrogant on account of their affluence? بَطِرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا. They had a lot, so they just were like, eh, this is okay. They don't need anything. Because of that, they were destroyed. How many? How many before? There's a interesting tangent in this surah that is not in any other surah, which is Qarun. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa. Korah was one of Moses' people. He was from Bani Israel. He was one of the puppets that Fir'aun would use to control the people. He was given a lot of power and he had an immense amount of wealth. So much so that the keys to his treasures would have weighed down a band of strong men. That's how much money he had. That the keys of his treasures were so heavy that it would be heavy for like a bunch of strong men to carry. That's how many keys were to unlock the doors of his treasures. Because when you sell out your people, you get rich. That's what happens, right? You get US aid and you get rich. Inna Allah la yuhibbul farihin. People told him this is not good. He was told, seek the home of the hereafter, but by means of which God has bestowed upon you, but don't forget your portion of this world as well. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Keep the balance. But this man did not keep the balance. He says, this is all because of me. And then he was destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of the eyes of the people. The promises that Allah has made to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be certain in Allah's promises. And he says, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. Allah's promise. He who has entrusted you with the responsibility of the Quran will surely lead you to a successful end. This is what the surah is saying. Allah makes his promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep his promises. He made promises to Musa alayhi salam's mother. He kept his promise. He made promises to Musa himself. Kept his promise. And O Prophet, he's made a promise to you. And he will keep his promise to you as well. And that is what the surah beautifully highlights. And what we take away from this is, when Allah tells us something in the Quran, it's a promise to us. We should be certain that it will come true. Jazakumullah khairan for staying till the end. And I will see you all inshallah tomorrow.